this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
I want to talk to you about becoming a worshiper. Amen. Not just becoming a worshiper, but being known for being a worshiper. It doesn't matter if we know you as a worshiper, but it matters if God knows you as a worshiper. So I'm going to share my heart with you a little bit. I've got in this study that I do, I've got about 25 points, and they all have sub-points and multiple sub-points. So obviously I won't get up to all of them today, but I do want to share just two things of great importance to me this morning. Stand for the reading of the Word of God. In 1 Chronicles 16:27-29, it says, "Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, assign to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe or assign to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe or assign to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." Praise God. You may be seated. This worship that I'm talking about is communicating or communion. I like the word communion better. With God Almighty. This is not just one of many little g gods. This is not even just the God. This is the one true living God, the only God, the only God. It doesn't matter what everybody else says, he's the only God. And this God wants to talk to you. Is that not amazing? If I could ever get you to understand that, if I didn't have go on at all, just to understand that this God, who created the heavens and the earth, who created all of the gold and the silver and the diamonds and the pearls, who created you and me, who created literally billions of people, and he wants to talk to you. What is it about you that he would want to talk to you? You can't even get your family to talk to you. And God wants to talk to you. He longs to hear from you, not just once a day, but several times a day, some days all day long. He wants to hear from you. He waits with great anticipation for your voice to come to his ears. And he will not roll his eyes or act bored when you go on and on. That right there ought to tell you something. He's never in a hurry to hang up. Doesn't mind you telling him the same stories over and over and over again. Jaden tells me that I have two telephone voices. She says, if I say, "Hello, what's going on?" Everything's good. She said, if I say, "Hello," she said, "You're saying, get off the phone, I'm busy." God never says, "Hello." The Bible says that he delights in you. So what does my worship do for God? It blesses him. How can we not want to bless the God who has done what he has done for us? It blesses him. It testifies to him that I am aware of who he is and that he is valuable to me. And it tells him that I am obedient to his word, because he tells me to worship him in the beauty or splendor of holiness. But what does my worship do for me? It reminds my flesh that my God is greater, bigger, stronger, wiser than anything that would come against me, either from the inside out or from the outside in. He is greater. It reminds my flesh. I think a lot of times we forget who we serve. We forget how awesome he is. We forget that there's nothing that he cannot do. We forget, and we need to remind our flesh that God is greater. It refocuses my attention, and you're going to hear me say that a lot today. It refocuses my attention on how powerful his name is, how powerful his blood is, how wonderful his love is, absolutely amazing His grace is, how powerful He is in my life. It places me in His presence where there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. It places me where there is fullness of joy, and joy, His joy is my strength. That means that when I'm in His presence, not only is there fullness of joy, but I come out full of strength. I can bear whatever I am facing because of the joy of the presence of God that I have just experienced. And I know sometimes our spirit wants to worship as God commands, but our flesh is just not willing. And that's when we have a very important decision to make. We have to make a choice to crucify our flesh. And sometimes when we try to worship, the spirit of shyness, the spirit of timidity comes on us, and it quite literally silences our worship if we're not careful. And we cannot allow that to happen. Why cannot that happen? Why can we not allow it to happen? Because our flesh has a go-to move that is so dangerous. If we are not worshiping the Lord, then we very quickly turn to murmuring and complaining about our lives. Now, I know that there are things that are wrong. I'm not naive to that. I know there are things that are wrong. But look at everything that's right about you. Look at everything that God has done. Think back where He brought you from. Think of all the things that He's done. How many times would you have died, literally died, if it had not been for God on your side? And if you're not careful, your go-to move will be murmuring and complaining. And that's the opposite of worship. So every day, all day long, you're making a choice between murmuring and worshiping, complaining and worshiping. It's a balance of power in your life that demands that you choose wisely. Everybody in this room has issues. Health issues, money issues, marital issues, relational issues, emotional issues, mental issues. And if left unchecked, these issues lock us into that murmuring and complaining cycle, which takes our focus entirely off of God and His goodness. We let our human soul, which is the seat of our emotions, get the best of us when we murmur and complain. And instead of using our mouths to bless God and worship Him as our Redeemer, we use our words to tear down, to curse, to criticize, to get even. And it's not of God. It's not of faith. It's not healthy. It's not wise. But beyond that, it's not acceptable. Because the Bible says in James 3, out of the same mouth should not come blessing and cursing. Out of the same fountain should not come bitter water and sweet. See, there's a song that we sing. We've sung it maybe 2-3 times. It's called Gratitude. And I identify with that song, and I love that song. I love the verses. I love the chorus. But that bridge, the first time I heard it, when Jaden and Tyler sang it on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, the first time I heard it, I thought, oh, my goodness, that is a bridge that will stay with me till the day I die. Because it says, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your voice. Lift up your song. You have a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. See, we pamper our flesh. And when our flesh says don't stand, we don't stand. And when our flesh says don't raise your hands, we don't raise our hands. But I'm telling you right now, you have to take control of that flesh. And you don't say, oh, well, I would like it if you'd stand up. You know, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me now. Lift up your voice. You have a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Get up. And see, we could stand in this pulpit and we could say that to you. Come on, get up, praise the Lord. But you know what? There's not a lot of worship in that. There's not a lot of praise in that because you were forced to do it. People were watching you. But what about when you are all alone and your flesh does not want to worship and you say, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Don't you get tired on me. Don't you get distracted on me. Lift up your voice. You have a lion inside of those lungs. think every Sunday morning I feel like coming in here and encouraging everybody to worship? I don't even feel like worshiping myself. Come on, my soul. Woo! If you're indeed grateful, then worship the Lord with a grateful heart. Don't be shy about it. Take your focus off of your issues. Shut up the complaining. Get up and praise the Lord. Shut up and get up. Shut up and get up. Shut up and get up. Of course your flesh is going to call worship foolish and unnecessary. That's part of the flesh's job. But when has anything that God wanted you to do been foolish or unnecessary? Never, ever, ever, ever. And if you have a heart of obedience, okay, and if I step on toes, it's toes that are not here. It is not your toes. But if you have a heart of obedience, you won't try to snow God by calling something worship that's not really worship, but yet another selfish pursuit of the flesh. I have actually heard people say these things with my own ears. I don't go to church on Sunday, but I get on my horse and I ride through the meadow and I look and see all of God's beautiful creation and I am, that's my church. That would be great if there was a scripture that said, get ye on ye horse, go out to ye meadow, ride and look at all of my beautiful creations and bless ye me. He does not say that. He says, get to the house. Come to my house. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves at my house. Enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Be thankful unto me and bless my holy name. Watching a sporting event and commenting on how God has blessed the players with talent is not worship. Calling a special, I've had choir members do this. Not any of this choir. Old choir members. Ex-choir members. Call on a Wednesday night. I can't be at halftime. I just felt led of the Holy Ghost to call a special family night. We haven't been spending enough time together. Isn't it weird that God would call that on a Wednesday night where he's already told you to come to his house? Why didn't he call it on Monday night when the Giants were playing? Or the Dolphins? Or the Cowboys? Or the Patriots? Or the Ravens? Or the Chiefs? Whoever your team is. Because your family needed you that Monday night just as much as they need you on a Wednesday night. Brandon just had a birthday. He calls it his birthday month, so we're still in it. Thank the Lord, as of tomorrow, we'll be out of it. But my thing is, I don't want to buy a bunch of stuff for people for Christmas for their birthdays that they're never going to use, that they're going to look at and say, oh my. Think I would actually wear this. I don't want to do that because my money is too precious. My time is too valuable. And I want to bless somebody with what they actually want. See, I want to bless the Lord as he wants, not like my flesh wants. I want to bless the Lord as he wants. So I asked Brandon, as I normally do, I said, what do you want for your birthday? He said, I want a hay ring. Now, it's just amazing that I know what a hay ring is. Hay rings used to be about $300. They've gone up to almost $600 now, just in the last few months. So I said, okay, I'll get you a hay ring, but you're gonna I'll have to give you the money because you'll have to go get it because I can't put it in my car. So I got him a hay ring because that's what he wanted. That's not what I wanted to give him. I wanted to give him, like, cologne and shirts and stuff like that. But now, if gets me a hay ring for my birthday in December, that's going to be another whole thing. Because, see, if I'm going to get him what he wants, shouldn't he get me what I want? If God's going to give you what you want, shouldn't you give him what he wants? If God's going to give you what you want, when you pray, when you ask, if God's going to give you what you want, shouldn't you give him what he wants? Hallelujah. Because worship does not feed the flesh. Worship does not enable the flesh. Worship crucifies the flesh. It crucifies the flesh, and you have got to be willing to crucify the flesh, because it takes the focus on us and all our stuff and puts our focus back on God. So when I was a little girl, one of the songs my mom used to sing to me, she used to sing to me many songs, we'd sing together as I grew older when I would get ready to go to bed, and some of you that are a little bit older in this congregation may remember this song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And see, when we opened service today, we opened with eyes on you. When I look your way, everything is fine. See, that's what's supposed to happen. So you're just having turmoil, chaos, and confusion, and strife, and all the bad things and pain in your body. If you can get your focus off that and get your focus on him, he can come in and take care of all of that business all in one fell swoop. So you know how it is when you're so distracted and your focus is on everything that's wrong and everything that needs to be fixed. You need to walk away from those distractions and worship God. Those worries and anxieties will fade away in the light of his glory. I have had a horrendous week. Just really, really And Friday was just such a day. I spent all day at Randolph Brooks. I know those people way too well now. And so I thought live was going on Friday night, a couple hours of worship. And I thought, you know, I need to text Jade and text Tyler and tell them I'm sorry I can't be there, because I had all the work stacked up that I had missed on Friday trying to take care of business somebody doing to me. And you know what I did? About 7:45, because it started at 8, about 7:45, I stood up in my office and I said, come on, my soul. Don't you get distracted on me. I have a lion inside of my lungs. I will go and praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, I was in that presence of God for almost 2 hours in that place. And when I came home, because when I went, I had no idea what I was going to do to help this mess that someone else, the devil sent, created for me. When I came back, I had clarity. I knew exactly what to do. I knew exactly what to take care of and how to take care of it, because I worshiped. And see, this worship that I'm talking about, it has to be expressed according to God's edicts. You can't decide what is worship. God is the only one that decides what's worship. Lifting your voice, clapping your hands, lifting your hands, shouting to God with a voice of triumph, dancing, leaping, celebrating the goodness of God. All of these things are scriptural edicts for worship. I'm praising God in my heart. Well, you know what? That's great. I do the same thing. I praise God in my heart. I praise him in my mind. I praise him in my soul. I praise him in my spirit. But that's not enough. That's not far enough. It doesn't take the place of the external edicts that God has put in his word. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, we always go that for that with the negative. Well, you know what's in her. I mean, you know, when she opens her mouth, you can tell exactly where she is. No. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means if it's in there, it will come out if you don't allow your flesh to silence it. So if worship is in your heart, if it comes out, it's because you have decided to allow your flesh to worship God. And sometimes crucify your flesh to worship God. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Let the lion roar. Everybody say, let the lion roar. No, 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 that's not a roar. You think the devil is afraid of that? No. Let the lion roar. Let the lion roar! Could it be that the releasing of the roar of the Lion of Judah inside of you will release the power of God to slay every giant that stands between you and victory? Maybe you can see victory from where you are, but there are so many giants in between you and victory. What if you would unleash that lion on the inside of you, and not just on a Wednesday night, and not just on a Sunday morning, but on a Monday afternoon, on a Thursday night, that you would release that lion and God would be able to take control of that situation because you released the power of God. Some are content to stand by and let others usher the presence of God in so that they can receive. But I'm here to tell you, somebody else can't worship for you. Somebody else can't praise for you. Somebody else can't tithe for you. Somebody else can't give for you. Somebody else can't come to church for you. Nobody can sub in for you. It's you or nothing. And when you see people who do not do anything to worship the Lord for themselves, it's because at that moment, their flesh is greater than their desire to obey the word of God, to dance, to shout, to leap, to clap hands, to lift hands. Their focus is still on their flesh. You know that your flesh doesn't mind you doing all these things. Your flesh just doesn't want you doing for God. You can go to a club, 3 or 4 clubs at one time, you know, just club hop, and dance like a fool. Dance in front of people that can really dance, that are making fun of you, and you don't even care. And your flesh doesn't mind that at all. You can go to a sporting event and act like an idiot. And your flesh doesn't mind that at all. But when you do those same things, when you lift your voice, when you lift your hands, when you clap your hands, when you shout for joy, when you jump, when you leap, when you dance, and you do it in the house of God, or you do it in your house because you're trying to get the presence of God into your home, your flesh doesn't like that. But flesh, you will not get shy on me today. You're going to worship God. Because he's holy, because he's worthy, because he loves you, because he saved you, because he's healed you so, so many times. And your worship is a weapon of warfare that can be used anytime, anywhere. You know how it is? I mean, I know that some of y'all are packing, and that scares me on so many levels. And I'm well acquainted with guns. I shot a lot of guns when I was a teenager. Not at people, but squirrels, dove, and quail, deer. Sorry if you're a PETA person, because, you know, but I haven't done that in a very long time, so don't throw anything at me. But, you know, a gun only does good if you, number one, know how to use it, and number two, you have it with you, and number three, you can get to it quickly. But see, praise, you never have to worry that you left it at home. Worship, you never have to worry that you don't have it with you. You don't ever have to worry that you don't have enough. You don't have to worry that you got the gun but no ammo. You don't have to worry that somebody is going to come and ambush you, because all the you have to do, you don't even have to say it out loud. If you just say Jesus in your head, you already got his attention. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's a weapon of warfare, and it never leaves you. It is with you, and you know what? It's with you when you're young, and it's with you when you're old. It's with you when you're by yourself, and it's with you when you're in a crowd. That worship never leaves you. It is there with you, that weapon of warfare, and my Lord, it is powerful. And even when you cannot speak out loud, you can worship, because God reads your mind, and he reads the language of your heart. See, worship becomes your secret code. Sometimes it's a silent alarm, if you will. And he shows up in your situation and no one around you even knows that he's been called. Because you called him on the inside. And the next thing you know, he shows up on the outside. And people say, how did that happen? That happened because on the inside, I know how to worship with my mind. I know how to worship with my spirit. I know how to worship with my heart. And I called on him and he came. See, I was right here. Endocrinology. Right here at the top of Topperwine. 2019. When the doctor called me and Steve into a tiny little room and he looked at me and he said, Mrs. Fender, you have cancer. You have colon cancer. I can't tell whether or not it's spread outside your colon, but it's at the place where it could very easily be eat through your colon wall. I did not look at Steve. I just stared at the doctor. I did not look down. I did not cry. I did not start breathing fast. I didn't do any of those things. I worshiped in my head. I worshiped in my mind. I worshiped in my heart. I worshiped in my spirit. I worshiped because I knew that you are my Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. But oh God, today, you are my Jehovah Rophe. You are my healer. And oh God, with my mind running like crazy, you are my Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. And even though that tiny little room reverberated with bad news, my spirit was reverberating with the power and presence of God. And he showed up. I didn't have to say anything out loud. He showed up and he gave me peace. He calmed me down and he reminded me that I was his and he was mine and he has this. I didn't even have to say a word out loud. Ooh, and some of you are saying, and by the way, I've been cancer free now. Hallelujah, for 2.5 years. And somebody in this room is saying, you see, you can worship God in your heart. Yeah, you can worship God in your heart. But that internal secret code I just talked about, it only works for those who live a life of obedient, external worship. How do I know that? Because Mark 8:38 says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful, adulterous generation, my father will be ashamed. See, I can't be ashamed. I can't be shy and be ashamed. I can't do it. So don't be shy. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Every day, call him by his name. You're my Jehovah Rophe, my healer. Because see, you don't even know what your body is planning against you. You don't know what's in there. So speak it every day. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. You need the peace of God to be able to navigate this craziness that we call a world. Jehovah Nisi, my banner, my protection. Every day, every day, every day. Extol him for his attributes. He's holy. He's worthy. He's glorious. He's faithful. He's righteous. He's lovely. He's excellent. He's magnificent. When you say those things to him, I mean, quite literally, it changes your day. Tell him who he is to you. Lord, you're my shield, my buckler, my strong tower. My ever-present help in time of trouble. This is your God, the one who's greater than anything that comes against you internally. Externally, he has overcome and he makes you overcome. In our world, insurance doesn't always cover what you need it to cover. Because no matter how good insurance, eventually the agent's going to call you and say, I'm so sorry, our insurance doesn't See, God is not our insurance. God is our insurance. He's not the agent. He's the insurance. And you don't have to worry about it because he covers every issue, every mishap, every crash, everything that happens to you is covered. He said, "Oh, Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the water, the river won't overflow you. Flood insurance. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Fire insurance. It covers it all. He covers it all. Sin, his blood covers that. Sickness, his healing power covers that. Mistakes, his grace covers that. Chaos, his peace covers that. Sadness, his joy covers that. Weakness, his strength covers that. You will never face an issue that God will not cover. See, we're talking about worshiping God for who he is. It's wonderful to praise him for what he does, but when you learn to worship him for who he is, you will automatically be blessed with what he does. Worshiping him for who he is releases him to do what he does. I believe that everyone has to find their way of worship for themselves as long as it includes God's instructions, obedience to the word of God. As a leader of praise and worship in this house, I'm always searching for those of like spirit to whom worship is not a chore. You don't try to time your arrival at Sunday morning service after the worship service is over. But it's a blissful experience. It's something that when you're in the car on the way to church, you're thinking how wonderful it will be to come in and get your mind off of everything and focus on Jesus. And personally, I sing to the Lord and I shout unto God with the voice of triumph. In my younger days, when I didn't have to play keyboard all the time, when I would go out, I did all the other things. But now, keyboard is part of my worship to the Lord. That's what he's called me to do. So I can't jump at the keyboard. I can't dance at the keyboard. I can't spin at the keyboard. I can't lift up holy hands at the keyboard because the keyboard has to have my hands on it. I can't clap hands for the same reason. But I can sing, and I sing. And I can shout with a voice of triumph. And I know that it's probably very irritating to you, probably not as much in a fast song as it is in a slow song, when I go, woo! Like that. And I know that you wish that I would back off of the mic when I say, woo! No, that's because the pressure cooker, have you ever used a pressure cooker? And every once in a while you got to release a little bit of steam. I can't dance. I can't leave the keyboard. I can't do anything like that. I can't spin. I can't give into that. So all I can do is release a little pressure and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And so you can be irritated by that if you want to, but God loves it because it's obedience to him and he knows what I'm feeling when I do that. And you say, well, you're not supposed to walk by feeling. Oh, when you're a worshiper and you begin to feel his presence, I'm telling you right now, it feeling takes on a whole new meaning. Brother Ernest Bermea. Stand up, Brother Ernest, please. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm well acquainted with Brother Ernest's work because he stands right here in my eyesight. I know that it's entirely likely that he will find his way to the altar at some point to worship his God. Sometimes he stands with his hands clasped in front of his chest. Other times he raises his head and lifts his hands. And you can look at him and tell that he is absolutely lost in the presence of his God. He doesn't care that the bass guitar hit a bad note, or that the keyboard's in the wrong key, or that the mix in the soprano, alto, and tenor mics are not right. He doesn't care. Because we have ceased to exist except as a transportation crew that takes him to the heavenly place. That's all we are. Now, if it blesses me that much, what does it do to the heart of God? Brother Ernest, I'm convinced you could ask for anything, and God would give it to you. Because I don't think he could resist what it is that you do in this place. Maggie Salazar. Maggie, are you here? This is Maggie Salazar. You can be seated, sweetheart. She's been with us for decades now. She's strong in the Lord, unwavering, a true worshiper.